What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
If it's something that's a desire for you, take that leap, because even if it's something that you think you should be doing what you've always done, or keeping in your career path, or not going for it because you're afraid of what your friends or family will say, or if you fail or whatnot, it's, you don't know that what if. And that's really what drove me is, well, what if this photography thing works?
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to dive into today's conversation with Sean Brown. Sean is based in the beautiful Pacific Northwest and is a high school senior photographer. After going to college with the intention of being a cardiologist, he gave it all up to pursue his dream of having the freedom to live the life he wanted through photography and hasn't looked back. Fast forward 10 years, he exclusively photographs high school seniors and runs a high-end studio that caters to clients who want to stand out in their images and want their unique personality to be captured too. He loves the excitement and enthusiasm that seniors bring to their photo shoots and feeds off this energy during each of his sessions. Sean has been asked to speak at conferences around the country, such as Imaging USA, Sync, the Push Conference, and loves helping other photographers build their dream photography businesses by giving them the tools that are necessary to take it to the next level, by going beyond the one-size-fits-all approach to business. I was so excited to connect with him. I think it was mentioned in one of our student groups that they were dying to have him interviewed and part of our Milky Way family. So I reached out and we're so excited to connect. So welcome, Sean.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I'm really excited to be here. And I think it was just the stars aligning, a perfect timing of being mentioned and then also, yeah, getting on the podcast as well. So thank you so much for having me.
Like, you literally, it was funny because I looked at your website. It was mentioned in the group. I looked at your website. My business partner looked at your website. And literally that afternoon, you messaged us.
That's hilarious.
It was wild.
It's sometimes it's just meant to be, and it's little, you know, idiosyncrasies like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It blows my mind. Sean, can you tell us who you are and what you're super passionate about?
Yeah, so I'm, like you said, I think you summed it up even better than I could have. So I'm Sean Brown. I'm a high school senior photographer in Portland, Oregon. And like you mentioned, I never thought that I would be doing this, and just something that I happened to fall into. And years after running a high-end, successful senior photography studio, I still do that, but also have really transitioned into helping photographers build thriving senior photography businesses, most importantly, having that time, flexibility, and freedom, which a lot of photographers think, hey, what you're going to do is you're just going to take a bunch of pretty photos. That's going to drive a great business for you. And they find out that there's some more things you have to do, business, marketing, all that stuff. And so I'm really passionate about helping photographers fine tune their business, make it actually profitable, step out of the starving artist mantra and step into being the business owner that they can be.
I love that. Isn't that always the case? It's like, I really fell into my photography business. I had my son and I'm a maternity newborn photographer. So really fell into that genre with zero business. Like I just was like, I just want to take photos. And then people started asking me and this business happened and I got, it kind of got swallowed up with it. So I'm sure that you find that too. I want to circle back though. And I want to talk a little bit about, you had an initial career path of being a cardiologist. So what sort of made you have that shift and find your passion for photography to like make that leap?
Yeah. Well, and like you said, I think every photographer for the most part, there's nobody that I think wakes up day one and is like, you know what I'm going to do for my dream job? It's going to be photography. We always are kind of told throughout our whole lives that you have to go do a certain career. That's going to be what makes you successful. Or we see that certain careers, like, you know, lawyer or doctor, kind of the careers that are sought after, that's what's going to make you super successful. And so whether that was kind of society or whatever it was, that's kind of just the natural career path that I went on. And it was something that I loved doing. So I loved the sciences. I loved the idea of being able to work and help people. But with photography, I fell into it. It started with just literally being in college, coming back from college in the summer. And this, a couple of people that I knew from high school were like, hey, can you take senior photos of me? And of course, I didn't know how to focus my camera. Didn't know what a 51.4 meant, except that the background could be blurry. Also didn't know that that meant the whole subject was out of focus if you didn't nail the focus exactly. And then really just fell in love with the connection, much like many photographers, with the clients that you have, the energy, the excitement that they bring. And it was something that as I went back to college, it was something that I found I kept going back to. It was spending those late nights in the dorm room, you know, at your computer refining your website until 2 a.m. or figuring out what's this new editing technique and all those things. And deep down, I knew that I needed to do this. And it was going to take a leap of faith because I was essentially presented with two paths. The first path is what I call the safe route, which is you can do what you know works. You can go to medical school. You can stay in your 9-to-5 job. You can have a clear path forward, which for me was residency. And then, or you go to medical school, I should say, then you do residency and you do, you know, whatever else doctors do, stay in a hospital until you basically retire. Yeah. And what I saw with that path was, it was quote unquote, the easy path forward, but it also meant giving up the freedom and flexibility that I was starting to see with photography. And much like probably many of your listeners, that's what they crave at the end of the day, is being able to be your own boss, being able to make your own schedule, be at home with your son, or you know, travel. We were talking before we started the podcast of you being able to travel the Oregon coast. And how many jobs is that really possible with? And so it wasn't necessarily that I couldn't or I didn't want to do the medical route, but it was something that I wanted more. And that sometimes the scariest thing, which is taking the full leap into something that's unknown, also yields the best results. And so fast forward a decade later, and I'm really grateful that I took that leap. And really, that's what I encourage other photographers to do as well, which is if it's something that's a desire for you, something that you want to do, take that leap. Because even if it's something that you think you should be doing, you know, doing what you've always done or keeping in your career path or not going for it because you're afraid of what your friends or family will say, or if you fail or whatnot, it's, you don't know that what if. And that's really what drove me is, well, what if this photography thing works? What if it does start creating the life that I want?
I love that, because I think often we're so hardwired of that natural inclination of like, what if I fail? And like, what are people going to think? What's my family going to think? And if we change our mindset of like, what if I succeed? Like, what if I totally kick ass and win this thing? Like, what does that feel like? And you go, you approach it with such different energy. I love that. So absolutely. I have to ask, what did your family say?
Yeah. I think my mom was a little bit, caught off guard, to say the least, when, because I was signed up for the MCAT, which is the medical school's admission test to basically help you get in. And my mom was, we had already registered and everything. And I go, you know what? It's about 2 days before the test. I go, I don't think I'm going to take it. And she's like, okay. She goes, this is an interesting decision, but they were super supportive. So I was very grateful that they were. And so I'm not sure that that's something that everybody has, but I hope that if you found the right partner, you have the right family, that they would be supportive of you at doing that endeavor. But there's always somebody who's in the back of their mind going, this person's crazy. Like, what are they doing? They have so much going for them. And now they're turning it down to pursue, you know, something that people do as a hobby. And they're trying to do this full-time career out of it. And so there's always that kind of back of the mind going, all right, well, we'll see if this works. But at the end of the day, you ultimately are going to be around people that support you, who encourage you. And so very, very grateful that my family was willing to do that.
I love that. My dad still has no idea what I do, which I think is hilarious. Like, because I'm a photographer, obviously, but I also like run an online platform, I do a podcast, all the things. And he just doesn't have a clue. It's the funniest thing. And he still brags about when I was in college and I was a server, there was one time I made $500 in tips. And he thinks that is his brag story about me.
And you're like, look at what I've done. Yeah.
Like, I was 21.
But those are the things too. And it kind of shows that no matter how big the accomplishment is, that you always have somebody in your corner, right?
That's absolutely,
and it kind of goes back to that too.
Yeah. My parents are just like, they're hilarious. I love it. Yeah. And they're totally rooting for me. So when it comes to high school seniors, so you kind of explained how you found your niche with photographing your friends. So how did you kind of turn that into your business?
Yeah, great question. And that's something I see a lot of photographers struggling with too, is they're like, hey, we want to do this. How the heck do we turn this into a full-time job? How do we turn this into a business? And that was something that for me really came down to a couple things. And the first was handling it like a business is the first step of the process, where one of the things I noticed myself kind of falling into a pattern with, and a lot of photographers that I mentor or coach kind of experience the same thing, which is they just kind of keep doing the free shoots or the portfolio building because they need more experience, or they're kind of waiting for somebody to tell them, all right, now you have been granted the ability or the right to be a full-time professional photographer, or even just part-time professional photographer. Yeah. And they're always kind of waiting for somebody to tell them, hey, that you're good to go, right? Yeah. They're waiting for some certificate or some diploma or some accreditation or whatever it may be. And it really comes from within.
Yeah.
Of saying, hey, I'm not going to do this just spending my time giving this incredible service to y'all, because that's what we do as photographers. Not very many people are able to say, hey, we are truly making a difference in our clients' lives, where I have individuals that I've worked with eating disorders or self-esteem. And for them to be able to walk away from the session saying, hey, we had such an incredible life-changing experience where my self-confidence grew, or I was able to see myself how others see them. And for you to not give that gift to them because you're simply just kind of not taking it seriously yourself, well, you're actually doing your potential clients a disservice as well. And so it really stems from getting your business right. How do you want to serve your clients? Are you going to make sure that you're pouring into them? And I chose to go kind of the more full service route, where it was very all-inclusive in terms of everything they're getting, products, hair and makeup, really the full session experience. And so I was very clear on what that path forward needed to be and what that business wanted to look like. And even if I wasn't sure how to get there, I was going to figure it out. And when I figured out that that's what I wanted to do, it really came down to the marketing and branding. How are you then going to brand yourself as the go-to senior photographer? And for many photographers, we often see this, where chances are, if you're not booking a ton of clients, what this looks like is you think, hey, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be the generalist photographer, because the more clients that I appeal to, the more clients that I'm going to get, right? Yeah. And we kind of see that this doesn't always work like that, where what happens is we say, well, I'm going to be the newborn, and I'm going to also be the wedding and the maternity and the engagement and the elopement and the senior photographer. I know Canada doesn't really have senior photos, but insert whatever genre it may be. And what we see is that this really dilutes the ability that you're able to stand out in your market, because when people are wanting to invest, when they want the best of the best, they're not going to the generalist, right? When we have a plumbing issue, I'm not calling the dude who put in some turf in my yard or whatever, or manure in my yard, to come fix my pipes. I'm calling the plumber to fix the water leakage that's coming through the roof or whatever it may be. And people in photography do the exact same, where if they're looking for the go-to newborn or wedding or senior portrait photographer, they're really looking for somebody who does that, who has shown their expertise. And so while I dabbled in families, second shot a couple weddings, I realized quickly that that was not for me. I honed in on that niche of seniors. And by branding myself as a senior photographer, it was incredible that more people actually came in through the doors, because they saw you, they see you as the go-to photographer for your particular genre, your niche. And that in and of itself builds a lot of credibility with your clients, but it also, more importantly, shows that you're dedicated to making sure that their portrait experience in that particular genre is really the best that it can be. And so that was really a huge game changer, and where I see a lot of photographers kind of go astray is they wonder why it's not working. And it's typically because they're spreading themselves thin in a lot of different areas and in hopes that they bring in clients, rather than, hey, what's my business model? What is it going to be? How am I going to serve my clients? And more importantly, how am I going to make sure that that message is presented to my clients? And that really comes from that brand aspect.
I love that. I think you touched on something that really was like, oh my gosh, huge light bulb for me. And because I have a 14-year-old son right now, and I'm just, you know, watching him, this is such, like, between 14 and 18 is such an impressionable age.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
How you touched on, like, the eating disorder, right? How these kids, like, they're still kids, see themselves, and how this experience with you can be such a life-changing experience, and how it can set them off on a different path for their life too, just because of the experience that they're having with you. And I just, oh my gosh, like, right? And parents love to spend money on their kids. Right?
Well, and which parent is going to sit there and say, yeah, we don't actually really want to remember this moment in our child's life, especially before they're heading off to university and off on their life. And it's such a transitional moment from childhood to adulthood in a lot of ways, where they're never going to be that same person they were in high school. And what an incredible gift that you have as a photographer to be able to capture that for your families. And we see the same thing with newborns and weddings, kind of those milestone sessions where you're never going to get that time back. So it's kind of that built-in urgency even to work with you as well, where it's, hey, this is the time to really remember those moments.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. Oh, so good. So good. So I want to talk a little bit about the energy and how a teenager's energy is going to influence how the session goes, because I'm sure you run across some that are super introverted, some that are extroverted, some that are, you know, watching maybe way too much Instagram and trying to pose real sexy. And that's kind of maybe not the vibe that you're going for. So I want to talk a little bit about how that works with your creative process.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great question too, because one of the things that I always tell photographers is, at the end of the day, you're going to attract the clients that are right for you if you're authentic with who you are.
Yeah.
And so many photographers kind of ask this question of, how do we attract all these incredible clients? How is it that we bring in this energy, the people that are enthusiastic, and hey, if they are introverted, you know, how do we kind of pull them out of their shells so that they're having a great session experience with you? And I think that a lot of it comes down to who you're being on your social media, in your website, and in your brand. It kind of all boils down into that brand element. What is your brand known for? And so for me, a big part of that was, well, you know what? I'm sick and tired of attracting the clients who don't value me, who don't want to truly invest in me, or who get to the session and they're like, dude, this guy's off his rocker. Like, he's crazy. We're doing like TikTok dances during the shoots. Yeah. He's like got his whole video crew and all that stuff. Like, that's not for me. But when you step into who you are, all of a sudden you stop attracting those clients, because they almost weed themselves out for you in a lot of ways. Yeah. And so when photographers are like, hey, how do you kind of manage all this energy, or how is it that you're working with all these different individuals? And the real answer to that is we kind of do that before the shoot even starts with what we're putting out on social media, whether it's via Instagram stories that we're creating, the vlogs that we do. So this is like essentially medium to long form video content where our clients really get a chance to see what it's like to work with me prior to even emailing the studio or anything like that. And so with that, you also, when you put out your energy, you attract the people that naturally resonate with you. And what a beautiful thing that is to say, hey, we're attracting the clients that we really want to attract just based on who we are. And so, yeah, we get the introverted clients, but most of our clients are really outgoing. And I think it's just kind of reminiscent of the entire senior industry where you kind of say, go jump up on this parking structure or something like that. And they're like, perfect, which part of it? And we don't see that with a lot of other genres, but they're very open and willing. And it comes down to a lot of trust with the photographer as well. Yeah. So as long as they know that you have some sort of vision and you're, again, that's part of your creative process of, hey, I'm going to trust you with doing some things. You have to trust me as well. And as long as you kind of build that rapport, especially in the beginning, and that's kind of the whole, you know, client inquiry, onboarding type process of getting to know each other, those types of things. But it really comes down to, do you stay true to who you are at the end of the day? Yeah. Are you going to make sure that you're staying there and saying, hey, this is who I am. This is how we achieve the results. You hired us for a reason. So this is just part of our crazy process of how we get there. And I think when you're open and transparent with not only who you are, but also communicating that with your clients, especially if there's any hesitancy or there is any kind of introverted tendencies, you're going to get a lot better results for your clients as a result of just being that transparent, authentic individual.
I love that.
Does that answer your question a little bit?
I jumped around a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it totally did. And then actually I have another question because we've heard this in our groups. What if you don't know who you are as a photographer? You don't know your brand. You don't know your style. You don't even know who you are. So how do you show up as that person? Like, do you have any advice on unpacking that?
Yeah, I think that's kind of like, Lisa, you hit on like the creative struggle, which is like, how do I find my brand? How do I find who I am? How do I find my style? All those types of things kind of get boiled into that. And for me, I think of this a lot as, so I was a track runner in high school.
Yep.
And one of the things in track is you have your own lanes, or you, if you're not, I was a distance runner. So basically we all started together and then we kind of merge into this big old hodgepodge of a, you know, sweaty, messy pile, right, of runners. But you're never running against somebody. You're always running against yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that this is where a lot of photographers go wrong, where what they do is when they say, well, I don't know who I am, what tends to happen, and this is even when you're starting your business, when you're on your business journey, what you do is you look around at all the other photographers, you find somebody who's successful in the industry, and what you say is, awesome, what are they doing on their social media?
Yeah.
What does their website look like? What's their style of photography? And what happens is we try to emulate it. We say, hey, they're seeing signs of success, so let's do that too. And if we're even able to replicate a fraction of what it is that they do, we're going to find success as well.
Yeah.
And what happens is we end up diluting who we are, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to inject somebody else's business into our business DNA, which does not work. And you'll find that you may see success for a year or two, but what happens when that photographer shuts their doors? And now all of a sudden you're going, where do I go from here? I have no idea. And so what you have to do is, if you're struggling with that, I say it's like a lot like a track race where you have to be focused on pushing yourself to be 1% better. And so the way that you do that and kind of hone in that focus, think of like a horse putting on the blinders during a horse race where, again, they're not worried about what the other jockeys are doing or what the other horses are doing, but they're worried about, hey, how are we getting to the goal? How are we going to get from start to finish as fast as we can or run the best race that they can? And the reason that the horses put those blinders on is so that they don't get spooked or distracted by those other horses. And for business, that's a lot like us going to other photographers' Instagrams or websites and saying, this is what I want to do. And we, again, we get spooked. We get distracted in our business. We talked about this with my coaching students the other day, kind of this shiny object syndrome. Yep. Where we see something and we chase after it. And what happens is we, over time, think that we're moving in the right direction, but we never get back to who we truly are. Yeah. And so if you're stuck on this, what I love to do is kind of this Instagram test. And a lot of photographers, especially when we get into a creative rut, or we get into a place in our business where ultimately we don't know who we are. We have no idea what our style is or what our voice is or anything like that. Look back at your Instagram and go through and look at which posts just make you happy. Mm. Genuinely just light up something inside of you. And what is it about those posts or what is it about those images that allowed you to feel creative, to feel like you connected with a client? And what I had to do early in my business is I found myself getting trapped into kind of that not having the blinders on, looking at other photographers. And so for me, it was really important to put those blinders on and go back to what is it about my work that made me happy? What is it that I loved about connecting with those clients that I had a great impression or a great experience with, that they had a great impression on me and I had a great impression on them? And what is it that you need to do to replicate that? Because once you're able to do that, you stop looking at others. And the more that you focus on what your internal intuition is telling you to do, the more that you're able to see who your voice is. And don't worry about what others think. That sounds so cliche, but it's so true. Like, it's true. Nobody else is teaching you how to run your business. It's ultimately up to you of how you're presenting yourself to your clients. What's your voice? If you're extroverted and want to, you know, show your clients an amazing experience by being a little bit goofy and silly on sessions, do that, because again, they're going to be drawn to you. It's the minute you start trying to replicate that, again, you lose sight, you kind of lose that focus of building the business that's right for you and trying to emulate and recreate something that's not going to work for you based on other people's successes.
Yeah, I love that. Have you read the book Steal Like an Artist?
I have not. It's on my list to read.
Oh, you got to. Yeah. It's a short read, but it's like, it really is about, you are the sum mashup of everything that you're exposed to. So it's like, expose yourself to like a whole bunch of different things, because you just become that incredible soup of like everything.
Well, it's kind of like that saying, like, you are the sum of the five closest people around you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely check it out. It's such a good book. So I want to dive into your rocket ship launch framework. So can you walk us through the three phases and how they help photographers scale their portrait businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and to kind of go into where I got the idea of the rocket ship launch framework is when I was looking at, okay, what actually works for people building their businesses, it really came down to what a rocket ship company or space,
like NASA,
I don't know, we'll call it, like NASA, basically, what any space exploration business or company does, which is they have a series of checklists that they have to go through in order to make sure that their launch is successful. Yeah. And so for photographers, this really boils down into three things. The first is the systems check. So, hey, before you're going to work on scaling your business to the next level, are you actually ready to do that?
Right.
And a lot of photographers skip this step and then they get to kind of the next stage of the business or the next stage of the countdown where they're all of a sudden going, why aren't things working for me? Right. It's because they skipped that step. So that's that first one, is that systems check. And we can kind of dive into all those. The other is this kind of the T minus countdown where it's like, you're getting ready to launch. Let's make sure every single final last check is in place. But more importantly, this is the most vital stage where before you kind of actually are going to shoot your business upwards, you have to make sure that's in check. And then that last one is really that ignition sequence where it's go time. You're launching your business. You're actually going forward and putting everything into check. And that's really where you see people taking their business, we'll call it the foundations, and really building upon that so that you can have an amazing, successful, thriving photography business of any genre, but more importantly, one that's going to work year in and year out rather than just kind of this flash in the pan experience, so to speak.
I love that. Which phase do you find that photographers get hung up on the most?
I would say it's really that systems check phase.
Yeah.
And what that systems check phase is think of this as, if you are going to take your business to the next level, are you ready to handle that number of clients?
Yeah.
And where I see a lot of photographers kind of make this mistake is they are good with what they do at their current stage of their business. And they say, hey, you know what? I have 10 clients this year. I would love to photograph 30 clients or 40 clients. And all of a sudden they say, we're just going to do exactly what we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
And where the systems check phase really comes into play is asking yourself, if you had 30, 40, whatever number of clients or sessions you want, is your business equipped to handle that?
Yeah.
And where a lot of photographers fail is that they say, yeah, I can do it. But they're still doing things like sending out emails by hand to their every single client. Or maybe they don't have some sort of virtual assistant who's helping them handle inquiries as they come in. Or maybe even they're trying to do all of their social media just kind of on the fly and they don't really have a system or strategy. Or maybe what this even looks like is they don't have any systems at all. And they're just kind of going from photo session, importing the cards, hoping they edit the sessions, and there's no real workflow.
Yeah.
And what happens is, as you try to grow your business, that works for a certain period of time. We call this kind of the grunt work stage, where you can kind of put in as much work as you want. But if you don't have those systems in place, what's going to happen? It's only a matter of time before you drop the ball on a client. Yeah. And what happens is you've created likely this incredible client experience, but as soon as you start dropping the ball, that client experience deteriorates. And now you're not providing the same client experience. And so for those photographers who are looking to grow their business, we have to ask, are you doing the fundamentals? And it's kind of like in, I don't know if you like played sports or anything growing up. It's like all the people in basketball are like, hey, we want to like learn how to slam dunk and like shoot three pointers. And they're like, nope, you're going to dribble the ball for like 5 hours a day until you get it down.
Yeah.
But it's because that's what you need to do. And you can't progress to the next stage of your business, of the sport that you're playing, until you do that. And so these are things like taking the leap of faith and hiring and outsourcing and delegating, automating, all those processes, kind of the DAD model, the delete, automate, delegate, right?
Yeah.
Is this something that you can delegate? Is it something you can automate? And if not, you have to just kind of get it out of your business. And a lot of photographers fail on that stage. And then they wonder, why is it that the business feels heavy? Or why is it that they hear that photography can be so easy, yet they feel like they're drowning in those types of things? And it's really understanding and listening for the signs from other photographers of why that's happening. And usually it comes down to kind of that not having your systems in place, which ultimately is going to catch up to you and down the line.
For me, I would get bogged down, and I still, you know, full confession, I still sometimes do, is I love to overshoot.
Yeah.
And then so I get overwhelmed with all of the choices. But then, because I love editing, and I feel like editing is actually, you know, it's pretty easy for me. I get it right in camera. I polish it. It takes me, you know, not too long. And so I end up delivering more because I feel like I should, because it's easy for me. Which is nuts, right? Because I don't, then I devalue what I'm giving because I've over delivered.
Well, and now it's only getting even harder with things like AI editing. We talk about that a lot, where it's even, you know, I catch myself doing that too, Lisa, where it's like, oh yeah, it's, you know, it's 7 cents an image. I'll just, you know, what's 10 more? It'll save me some time calling. But you're exactly right. It devalues at the end of the day what we're delivering to our clients.
Yeah. And I struggle. If I have struggled with this for 15 years, like, and it's like, I promised 25 and somehow I still managed to creep it up to like 100 and then I convert them into black and white. And I'm like, okay, Lisa, like something that should have taken you an hour is now taking you 4 to 5. Like, what are you doing? You know? And it's because I won't, or I like to rebel against my own systems. And I know that our photographers are often little rebels too. So do you have any advice on like bossing yourself? So you stop doing it.
I think a great kind of piece, I don't know, we'll call this a phrase, a word of advice, whatever you want to call this, which is that Basically, systems create freedom.
Mm.
And one of the things that we see with a lot of photographers where they're like, you know what? This is taking me way too much time. It's not giving me the results that I want. My clients don't value it as much, whatever it may be. We look and we say, well, why is that? And chances are it's because you had a system in place and you broke it. Or you don't have systems in place yet, mm-hmm. which, you know, then it's time to get some in hand. But with photographers, we're entrepreneurs. And something that entrepreneurs don't really like is being told what to do, even by ourselves. And this is so, so kind of reminiscent of every single creative out there where they're like, I would say for most of us, we are fly by the seat of our pants to an extent, myself yeah. included. And I would consider myself a fairly organized
yeah.
kind of type A person. But when we have any creative juices flowing in our system, our brain is going off in 100 yeah. different directions. And so what we often do is we say, you know what, that system we had in place, it's fine. It will be okay. We don't have to follow it for this time. And what we do is we fast forward 2 weeks and we're like, why the heck did I tell myself that I have to do this? Why did I break my own rule? And we're kind of in that hole. And so for photographers who are like, you know what, I don't like being bossed around, take it to the extreme and say, okay, even if you don't like being bossed around and it's by yourself and you have these systems in place for a reason, what is it that happens as a result of you breaking those systems? And typically, there's some sort of memory that comes to mind where you're going back and you're going, oh, yeah, I did do that for that one client last time. Yeah. It resulted in a lot of headache, a lot of stress for me. Okay, perfect. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And remember, too, that at the end of the day, you're building a business and your business is not your baby as much as we want to say that it is. Our business is a machine. Yeah. And what it's designed to do is it's designed to bring clients in. It's designed to allow you to work with them and ultimately produce a profit at the end. And when we treat it like a baby, our time and our attention and our effort is always going to be tied to that business. And chances are you didn't start your business so that you could spend more time in it. You started it so you could spend more time with your family, your friends, yeah. traveling, being able to have a little bit of time for yourself where it's not glued to the computer where you're running to fix your kid dinner. And then all of a sudden you're running back because you have another session to edit.
Yeah.
And so with that, you always have to keep in mind that the only way that that business functions is with a little bit of delegation, a little bit of outsourcing, but more importantly, sticking to those systems once they're yeah. in place too. So take it to that extreme. What is it that I'm going to potentially lose out on? And what is this going to create as a result of breaking that system? And that has really helped me, yeah. along with a lot of the photographers that I coach, kind of say, okay, you're right. Let's talk some sense back into ourselves rather than kind of jumping off the deep yeah. end.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense. And like when you nail on the head, because I've been doing it so long and over-delivering, I have a client who's having her fifth baby. And so because I've over-delivered on the four previous, I feel like now I'm obligated to.
Well, she's expecting it too, right? Yeah, we've built it into part of the experience.
Because I built that, right?
Yeah. And so we have to think of that as photographers too, is what's the ripple effect?
Right. Or maybe she's told her friends, like, yeah, she's expensive, but she gives so much, right? So it's great. Like, no, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And actually to say another about the importance of having systems is I had this great system of how I, you know, client inquires on my website, they get an auto sent their information, they can book online, it's all automated. Then I started taking little inquiries coming through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did it go into my CRM? No. Did I forget about the session? Yes. Don't do that. Follow your systems.
Yeah, it's so important. And it's like a lot of my students will ask me, they're like, what do you do when you get a Facebook DM and Instagram direct message? And I go, they get a link right to my contact form. And if they don't fill it out, that's up to them at that point. But there are the systems in place for a reason. It's for my sanity. And if I'm not sane, you're not going to be sane during your session either, is what I like to say.
One of the best business decisions I ever made was putting on the autoresponders onto like all my social media where it funnels them to where they need to go. So I'm not having to have those conversations there. It was huge time savers. And it's like, it's so important as, you know, we need to evaluate where we're leaking our energy and our time. And I think that you get stuck in all that grunt work that you kind of forget to even look at that.
Yeah. That time energy conversation, that's a whole, I know, whole right? other podcast topic right there. Yeah.
I know. So I want to talk a little bit something when you, on your intake form, you talked about the messaging blueprint. So can you share a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So the messaging blueprint is really for the photographer who doesn't have a social media, we'll call it strategy, or their social media strategy looks like a lot of other photographers, because what they've done is they see a lot of photographers doing this, which is posting beautiful image or sneak peek after sneak peek. Yep. And they think that's going to be my social media strategy. And what we find is that when we only do that, it goes back to the question of, well, why am I not booking any clients? And it's because you're not actually doing the key things, which is, how are you communicating what it is that you do? Why is it that you're different? And most importantly, also, who are you? And we kind of talked about that in the beginning of this episode. And really, the messaging blueprint is really designed to touch on all three of those, where it's to take your client through overcoming their objections, showing how you're going to solve the issue, and then most importantly, how are you going to make sure that they feel comfortable working with you? And that kind of comes back to the who are you. And so we kind of break this into three phases. The first one I like to say is sharing is caring. And it kind of comes down to like, hey, if you're not going to tell your clients what you're doing because you're afraid that a competitor is going to steal your amazing idea, well, chances are your clients aren't going to know about that whatsoever. And then we also want to go a step further. Once you've shared what is it that you do, you also need to share the purpose behind it. Why is it that you actually do this in your business? And most importantly, we need to do the third phase, which is keeping it client-centric. Mm-hmm. And so everything that you post isn't because, hey, it's getting more likes or it's getting more feedback on Facebook or Instagram or whatnot, but it's, how is this serving your client? How is this going to benefit your client? So we kind of break those three phases, the sharing's caring, the purpose, and then that client-centric aspect. And that in and of itself forms that messaging blueprint. We can kind of dive into that in detail if you want as well.
Now, I want to ask, because there's a photographer that I know that maybe has let their photography Instagram sort of to the wayside. What advice would you have about bringing that back?
Yeah. So it depends on the person, right? And sometimes we all need that little social media detox, so to speak. But one of the things too that I've started doing in my own business was I found myself being very glued to my phone.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of photographers feel like social media has to be something that's really heavy, that's something that's really a drain to them. And it doesn't have to be if we don't make it that way.
Right.
And one of the things that has really helped me is being, again, going back to those systems, having social media scheduled out.
Right.
And it kind of comes down to that messaging blueprint. And part of that is also cycling through what is it that makes you different and all those things. And what I've been doing over the past couple of years is mapping this out, especially in my slow seasons of having that, where the marketing strategy is actually the most important, because it's not when you're booking clients. It's really when you need to book clients that comes into play. And it's been a combination of scheduling it out as well as outsourcing and really allowing VAs to help you and to step in, where you're not necessarily handing over the reins, because that's really dangerous to do, especially as a solo business, where all of a sudden it's not your voice being carried through in your messaging, but giving them tools and systems. So one of the things that I do is we'll write the captions, we'll write kind of the copy and stuff, but they're doing all the creative. Yeah. So they're taking, whether it be like a Canva or Photoshop template or something like that, and they're just inputting everything, grabbing photos from a Dropbox, and then they have this beautiful carousel. And we say, perfect, schedule it for this day, put this caption. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of doing all that heavy lifting, the stuff that feels heavy for photographers. Yeah. And when we're able to kind of step away, we forget that we're even posting. In fact, this whole last week, I was actually down with a little stomach bug and I had like three posts go out on Instagram. I like forgot I even had those scheduled.
Yeah.
And so it's a really beautiful thing where we're able to kind of take that weight off of ourselves. And so when somebody steps away from social media, we typically see that it's a result of them feeling like it's either not working well, and that's a result of not having the right strategy in place, or that it feels heavy and it's kind of that result mm-hmm. of not having the systems in place or being willing to let go.
Yeah.
And you're always going to feel dragged down if you're not willing to allow other people to help your business, because
yeah.
no successful business in the history of the world has ever been built by one person, right? No. Tim Cook isn't sitting there building no. your iPhone. He's got a team of helpers.
Totally. I love that. Yeah, no, it's funny because I took a sabbatical for a year and I'm still kind of like tiptoeing to decide if I'm going to restart my photography business. So I've been really vacant on my Instagram and my Facebook for a year. And now at this point, I'm like, is it weird that I go back? Like, what do I do? Like, I don't know what to do. I'm probably overthinking it, which is something yeah. I love to do.
Well, and think of what everybody else is saying about social media too, which is, I don't like being on it that much. Or I'm seeing less and less of my friends' posts. And so yep. if you are in that stage, own why you left. Hey.
Yeah. I needed a break. I was burned out.
Yo, I was tired. Yeah. And I was only getting more tired by scrolling social media for yeah. hours and hours. And so if you own that, nobody's going to sit there and say, wow, Lisa, you know, shame on you that yeah. you took some time off of social media. They're going to be like, that's awesome. Yeah. In fact, one of my friends, so she runs Go Live HQ, which is a great web design platform. And she took like a 2-year hiatus on social media. She just came back. And one of the things I was like, I wasn't even like, oh yeah, I didn't really notice, because right. we think that everybody's paying attention.
Spotlight syndrome, right?
Exactly. right. Yeah. We always think all the eyes are on us. Yep. And then when we look at it and people go, oh yeah, we didn't even notice, or
yep.
so glad you're back. You know, yep. we can't wait to connect with you again. So it's always less scary than we think it's going to be.
It was funny because I really built up taking the sabbatical that my clients are going to hate me. Like, everyone was just like, yeah, good for you. Take some time off. You've worked like for 15 years running two companies. You should be tired.
Yeah, you're like, I am. Good for you.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
and now I'm just like, oh, I miss my babies.
You're like, I want to get back into it. And I think it's that drive. If you're doing it for the right reasons, you know, nobody's going to shame you for
yeah.
it. And especially if it's maybe your posting schedule hasn't been as it should yeah. or that you just disappeared for, you know, whatever reason. You don't even need to justify it. Just, yeah. hey, I'm back. I'm here. Yeah. Happy to serve you. And I think that the types of clients that you're going to attract are going to respect that. And the clients mm-hmm. that don't respect that, well, first of all, we don't want to work with them.
No, we don't care. Yeah. Goodbye.
Right? Yeah. Kick them to the curb. Well, not literally, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a market for everyone.
There is. Right? There certainly is. Yeah.
I love it. I love this conversation. So I wanted to circle back a little bit more to the messaging blueprints, if you wanted to just
yeah,
a little bit more. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So you want to just kind of break it down, like
yeah.
kind of those three stages. Yeah. So let's work through one of those. So that first is kind of the sharing is caring. So yeah. where photographers get hung up on is, I often hear the question, well, what do I post?
Yes.
And it starts with the question of, well, what do you do? And for every photographer, we're really, really great at telling what it is that we do and how we do it. We're really bad on that why portion, which kind of gets to that tail end, that client-centric piece. And so what we want to do as photographers is communicate, if you are to work with me as a client, what is it that you will experience during your session, leading up to the session, before and after? And we kind of call these like your brand pillars. So what is it that you want to be known for? And I recommend most photographers have like 3 to 5 of these, because this, as you'll see, kind of the way that my brain works and kind of the way that the messaging blueprint works, is it gets easier when you have about 4 to 5. But 3 is kind of like the starter. Every photographer should have 3 things they do. And we want to focus on the tangible aspects for you. So we don't want to go intangible, where photographers will kind of get into, well, I love bringing out my client's personality and my clients feel, you know, self-confident and they have just such a fun time, right? Well, it's really tough to quantify what fun is.
Yeah.
It's very different from client to client. But when we get focused on the tangibles of something you could point to or physically see or touch, or something that you can basically point to and say, oh, they do that, it becomes a lot easier. And these are things like for newborns, it's probably mm-hmm. set designs. Maybe you have certain mm-hmm. props that you're using. prepping your clients before they come in, offering photography products, those types of things. So I'm not even in the newborn industry. And it's like, we just named three things that probably most high-end or, you know, even middle of the road newborn photographers are doing.
Yeah.
Where they all have those things in their business. And so those are three right there. And so for seniors, this looks like maybe hair and makeup or even unique locations. Obviously, you're probably not taking your newborns out into unique locations or anything like that. But if you're a, you know, an on-location portrait photographer, maybe that's one of them. Maybe this is, again, that session prep process or what happens after the session or even in the session day itself. What is it that you're doing that's different than other photographers? And we have to get really clear on what is it that you're doing in your business. So that's kind of like that sharing is caring. So what we want to do is we want to get clear on that because we need to communicate that with our clients. And what we want to do is we want to pair that with our purpose. Mm. And so whether this is like a carousel post on Instagram or a reel, and no, you don't have to brush off your dancing shoes and get on TikTok or anything like that, even just a simple video where you're talking to the camera. Or what I love to do is we just posted this reel that did really well, which was just panning over the products that we offer and doing a voiceover, just talking and injecting our personality in it that way. And one of the things that you can do with that is then say, well, why is it that you do that in your business? Why is it that you even bother to offer photography products? Isn't it easier if you just give me the digital files? Well, we do this because I believe that for my clients, I'm doing them a disservice by not including that and putting the stress on them.
Yeah.
And when we focus on the why that we're doing this, it gets very clear on why is it that we do that versus just kind of copying what other photographers are doing and doing what we think we should be doing. And that last piece is that client-centric. So now that you have kind of the what you do and the why you do it, how does it benefit your clients?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest piece because our clients, they don't care that you have amazing newborn sets. They don't care that you offer photography products. They want to know what is it that that does for them.
Yeah.
And when we can focus on the benefits, this is like the features versus benefits thing that you've probably heard in marketing a million times over. Why is it that that client should work with you? Why is it that as a result of you offering what it is that you do and maybe why you do it, maybe why it makes their lives easier, ultimately, how is it going to help them? Mm-hmm. So with those photography products, rather than just saying, hey, we offer these archival quality photo products, go a step further and add these two magical words, the so that you have your images that last a lifetime and you don't have to worry about them being buried on a hard drive that you can't find, having the files corrupted or being able to pass those down for generations to generations. Nobody wants a USB handed down to them, but when you hand them that photo album, you can guarantee they're going to look through it, right? Yeah. Those types of things where we're really focusing on those benefits to the client. And when we pair those three together, that forms one piece of the messaging blueprint. The next step is to be really consistent and to make sure that you're rotating throughout each of your pillars. So think of the sharing is caring, the purpose, and the client-centric as one piece of one pillar. And then maybe 1 week you're posting about one pillar, the second week you're posting about the next, the third you're posting about the third one, fourth, the fourth, so on. And then you just repeat that. And that consistency, that repetition allows your clients to form an idea of what is it that you offer? What is it that you're known for? And more importantly, how is it that you're going to help them? And throughout those pieces, we also kind of want to inject our personality so they can see who is it that you are. And we can do that through, say, video or even those audio voiceovers. If you're like, Sean, I got a face that's built for radio. I'm not getting in front of the camera or anything. There's a reason I'm 12 inches behind it, right? Those types of things. And so we have to really get creative on how is it that we're going to showcase our personality? Because at the end of the day, we can answer all those objections. We can say how it is that we're the best, but clients these days are so focused on who is it that I'm working with? What is it about you that I am drawn to? And is this somebody that I want to work with in a more intimate way? And it really kind of comes down to pairing that messaging blueprint with also making sure that you're tying in your personality to that as well.
I love that. Do you have video on your website at all?
A couple of places. Yeah. So the big shift for video is we've really moved into a vlog format of video. So we do kind of short form reels and such, but we also are really focused on our long form video content. So I work with a couple amazing local, it's just high school students that help create the vlog format content. And that's a really great, raw, authentic format to basically be yourself, but also show clients what happens during the session. That's done incredibly well for the business. It's a little bit daunting to do, but even behind the scenes videos on a TikTok or a reel, just showing your personality, what it's like, what happens during the session is absolutely enormous. So yeah, we have a lot of links that kind of point to the vlog channel and all those types of things. So clients can go down the YouTube rabbit hole, because I know we've all never spent more than an hour on YouTube ever or anything like that.
Never. Yeah. I love that. I'm curious about video, because you're seeing, like, with TikTok, with Instagram, with Reels, doing more with video, even like, I've been considering even sending in the initial inquiry and a video where it's like, hey, I'm Lisa. Like, this is like basically about me. This is what you're going to expect in my session. Here's my personality. If we're going to work together, like.
Absolutely.
Right.
Like, highly recommend that. In fact, we do that for our own inquiry process, where the very first video that they see is in their inquiry email. It's a little pro tip for all of you guys thinking about incorporating video, and it's just an unlisted YouTube video. Yeah. They click it, and it literally is, I think it's about 3.5-4 minutes, and it just tells them, hey, this is a little bit about me. It's in the studio. It's super low quality. It's literally just like iPhone and just like selfie mode, like not high produced at all. And it's just building that authentic relationship with them, so they get a feel for what is it that you're like?
Yeah.
What is it that they can kind of expect? And then most importantly, following that up with a call to action with those next steps of, when you're ready to be a part of this experience, and if this sounds right for you, here's how you do that. Check the magazine, click the link to book a session, you know, those types of things as well, to bring that full circle. I think that's a fantastic idea for every photographer that's listening.
I love that. Adding more personality. So you ready for our lightning round?
I hope so. Let's go. Okay.
So if you like to cook, what do you like to cook the most?
Oh my gosh. Pizza. So I guess this is a lightning round, so I won't go into detail.
It's okay. You can.
Yeah. So for my birthday a few years back, my fiance got me a, like, one of those uni pizza ovens. So we fire up like those Neapolitan pies. We call it pizzolo night, which is pizza maker in Italian.
Yeah.
Favorite thing to cook. So I think that's like the most fun. Like, we love to entertain. So that's a great kind of entertaining night. So
do you make your own dough from scratch too?
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. It's super easy. Yeah. Everything's homemade. It's
love wonderful. It. Favorite movie?
Ocean's 11.
Oh, good one. What did you want to be when you grew up as a kid?
A cardiologist. Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah. Song that lifts you up when you're down?
Something from Coldplay. Their old stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I love going back to their old albums.
Yeah. Favorite guilty or not so guilty pleasure?
That's so funny, because it's like, I really don't have, I'm so like just hobby focused. So we'll just say like golfing, because I don't know. Yeah, I'm a golfer. I'm a skier. That's what it is. Yeah.
Mine is freezer chocolate. It's like chocolate I just keep in the freezer.
Or mine is buying a Hawaiian floral shirt for bonobos. So there you go.
I love it. Oceans or mountains, and why?
Mountains. Yeah. I'm not one of those people that can sit on a beach and like drink Mai Tais all day. I need a little something going on. So I love hiking. I love skiing, all those types of things in the mountains.
Love it. What is something you have accomplished as an adult that your younger self would be proud of?
I think running my own business. I think that's something that I never had on the cards. And I think that's something that everybody should be proud of.
Yeah, I love that. What are you most grateful for in this season of life?
My fiance. Yeah, she's very supportive, very, very loving. Soon to be wife. Maybe when this airs, it'll be wife. Yeah, by then.
I love it. When do you feel most authentically yourself?
When I'm doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing. And I think that that's where people go astray, is they go directions where they think they should be doing something that they're not.
Yeah.
And deep down, they know they should be doing something else. And I think that's when I'm most authentic.
I love that. It's like about trusting that intuition, right? Yeah, 100%. What has been the best piece of business advice you've ever been given?
Try.
Yeah.
Go for it. Test it. Yeah. Don't hold yourself back. Just go for it.
I love that. What advice do you have for someone just starting out?
Goes back to the try, and that sort of thing. But I think more importantly, it's don't look at failures as failures. Look at them as learning opportunities, and learn from what you didn't see as a success, and refine, tweak, and go from there.
Love that. So where can our listeners learn more from you?
Yeah, sorry if that wasn't a very lightning round.
It was so good. It
maybe
was
went
good.
Into a depth a little bit. Yeah, so the best place for listeners to tune in, all of my client work is all Sean Brown Productions. So at Sean Brown Productions on Instagram, www.seanbrownproductions.com. So that's all the client side. And then for photography education, that's all shifted into at Senior Photo Education and seniorphotographyeducation.com. And I also run the Shoot for Success Photography podcast, which Lisa's hopefully going to be a guest on soon. I think sent an email out, so just waiting to get her scheduled. So her episode will be coming up shortly as well. But that's the best place for photographers to tune in, catch up episodes, all that stuff, sort of thing.
I love it. Well, Sean, thank you so much for your time today. And I love to end my interviews just with one last question. And it
Absolutely.
Is, what are you currently curious about or artistically curious about?
I am very curious about how AI is going to change change the photography industry.
Right?
Yeah, there's been some crazy groundbreaking stuff even in the last week with like AI, like text to video type stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be really interesting how that plays out. I have my own hypotheses about what AI is going to do. And that's a whole nother topic of the conversation where I think photography that's real is just going to become even more of a luxury than it already is as AI takes over. But that's really something I'm curious about in terms of marketing and branding and just everything that it can do. So that's kind of my curiosity right now.
I love, it's funny because with AI, you can really always tell it's AI by looking at it. And especially when you look at hands and feet, because AI just gets
it's
so
confused.
It's getting
even better now. Yeah, it's getting even better now. So it's like so wild to see just even the last couple of years how that's changed. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. It was an absolute pleasure.
Oh, my beautiful friends, I hope you have loved this conversation just as much as I have. I'm sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We'll see you next time. I wanted to take a moment to ask you a little favor. I so appreciate you spending your time with me and tuning in and listening to the show. I would be so incredibly grateful if you could take a quick moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your review helps other photographers discover the podcast and learn how to grow their own photography businesses and gain confidence to go after their dreams. It also means the world to me personally and helps me know what content you find most helpful. Thank you so much for your support and for being part of our amazing community.